Next on Discovery Channel Radio, Tool Belt Diva with Norma Valley from Discovery Home Channel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley, the Tool Belt Diva. And today in the studio, we have Chris Tyrone, who I must say is the ultimate fixer-upper.
The ultimate fixer-upper.
You are. And the story that you have to share with us really is incredible. Chris was looking for a house to live in with his wife, and you were looking in an area that you absolutely adored. So why don't we start from there?
I was looking in the Hudson Valley area.
I love it up there. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You wanted property. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just about the house. It was about the property.
Definitely. It was a combination of things. That whole privacy versus accessibility was really, really important. I wanted deer. I wanted turkeys and all kinds of things in my backyard, just kind of wandering through. But I wanted to be able to get to the city easily whenever I felt like it.
That's a dream. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's living the dream, because you get the city when you want it, and then you get the country life when you want it to. You get
Absolutely.
The deer eating apples off your property. I love that.
That's right.
So you came across a house on a beautiful piece of land.
You could call it that.
So you go into the house.
No, actually, kind of observe the outside of the house where the, I'd say 70 to 80% of the siding was like hanging off.
And wow.
Windows. I noticed one thing right away, that the windows were taped with plastic on the outside, and I later found out that they were also taped with plastic on the inside.
Wow.
And 12 months out of the year.
Oh, excellent.
The tape, you could see that the tape had aged over the years.
Right.
So there was no air circulation in this home whatsoever.
Oh, you mean taped closed completely?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely plastic.
Beautiful.
Stretched over every window.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're daring. And so you decide to go, after observing all of this, the junk in the driveway, the windows taped up. Now you're going. Now, what's really alluring you at this point is that the property was so beautiful and the price was right.
We didn't know what the price was at this point. I knew that I was up for a challenge. And with each moment that passed, I was mounting the size of the challenge that was to come.
Okay.
So we walked in and first were floored by the stench of mold and mildew.
Oh, my. You see, that alone, I would have went run. I would have thrown up.
Well, the back wall of the what was the breezeway at the time, the roof of that section was completely flat. And what we saw was that every time that it would rain, that rain would be collected on top of that
right.
roof. And the only place that it had to go was down the back wall of that room.
So that was just saturated year after year after year, and it was growing mold and mildew.
And once we owned the house, I had to try this for myself, but I went over to that wall, and I literally was from the inside of the house to the outside of the house, able to push my arm through that wall.
Shut up.
Without injury.
Oh, my God. That is scary.
No injury. It was just a nice hole there.
Oh, God. Okay, so back to you walk in the house and you're just almost knocked unconscious by the stink.
Absolutely. Because, again, with the plastic, and he owned two dogs. And We found out later that the dogs, the bathroom for the dogs was the basement.
Are you kidding?
It's the truth. So I went down there later to discover that this
now,
was the case. But
was your wife there with you at this time?
Yeah, about a foot or so behind me, kind of.
Wow, I love her for not having. Okay, so you continued on in there.
Slowly, because there was garbage 6, 7, and sometimes 8 feet high in every room. And there were three rooms that we literally had to go through tunnels that he had built. He would put tables in between and pile the garbage on top and the sides, and we literally had to go under them to get to the next room. So
he created tunnels in the house for garbage.
He had his own human habit trail going.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Now, so you're climbing your way around the garbage. You're observing all of this absolute insanity. And you're now taking a little tour of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you finding as you go from room to room?
Great uncertainty in terms of the sizes of the rooms, because you really couldn't see the end of any room.
Wow.
We just really weren't sure exactly what the square footage was or anything of that nature, because you just couldn't see it. And for heating, this is kind of an interesting one. He told me in completely straight face that he decided one day that he did not like his heater anymore.
He didn't like
he
it?
He didn't like it anymore.
Okay.
So he went downstairs with tools and took it apart and put it on the driveway. That was the heater that we had to go around.
Okay.
And then bought a wood stove, attached that to the chimney, and then cut holes in the floors of the first floor to let the heat up.
You're lying.
No, ma'am.
So he was heating his whole house, and it's cold up. I mean, just so that everyone knows, it gets really, really cold
in
upstate.
Certainly, it can get into the minus in the deep.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Okay, so he was heating his house from a wood stove through holes he had cut through his floor.
Exactly, and there was some creativity going there. There was some round holes, some square holes.
Oh my God.
It was kind of neat.
That's so crazy. That is crazy. Wow. Why? So there was no heat in the house.
No heat in the house. I remember the first shower that I took when we finally bought the house. I may be getting a little ahead of myself, but you would get this little kind of shh of water and then this really sharp whistle. It's like the next amount of water was barely being pushed up by the pump. So I would sit there in this freezing cold with the shh and then like really fast with the soap because I was kind of anticipating when the next one would come up. Quite incredible. That's basically the plumbing. But, and
oh, okay. Is it what kind of? I mean, was it? He had a well on the property.
Yeah, there's a well about 200 feet down, and that in and of itself was an adventure because the pump for that was on the ground level.
Oh,
We moved into the winter, because we purchased the house in the end of October.
Okay.
As we moved into the dead of winter, I was out there at one point in -8 weather trying to get this pump to just function long enough to get us, you know, one toilet flush or one shower.
Gosh.
This is, you know, when we first got there.
Gosh. So, okay. So now, this is the first time you're at the house. You've discovered that this house is an absolute mess.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you saw in that house that would blow our mind? Because I need to get to the point to ask you, what made you decide to buy this house? So I got to know. Okay, so was there anything else that really blew your mind?
The electrical system kind of couldn't blow my mind because it was a 60-amp service with screw-in fuses that were literally rusted into the box. So any circuit that had a fuse in it that broke, because it was rusted into the box, that one was just...
No more.
Abandoned, right.
So he got himself down to 60 amps.
Well, it was a 60-amp service to begin
with. To begin with.
Oh, yeah.
So he didn't even have that.
No. He just had one or two circuits with lights that actually still functioned
Wow.
He was lucky that the one with the water heater, because he did have a water heater.
A little tiny
water heater.
Yeah, he had the water heater.
That one,
course.
That circuit apparently survived until he sold the house. To his benefit, obviously.
Jeez, unbelievable. Well, we're going to find out very soon what made you to actually decide to buy the house. And I want to also know how your wife tolerated all that. And as you were approaching winter with no heat, no running water, it's unbelievable. All right, folks, stay with us. We'll be right back with more Tool Belt Diva right here on Discovery Channel Radio. My favorite accessory. I've always wanted one since I was a little girl, so I treated myself. It screams empowerment. I'm talking totally huge. The shine, the sparkle, the razzle-dazzle. Of course it goes with my favorite belts. And it could drive a 4-inch screw like a knife through butter, baby.
Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9 and Sunday at 8:30.
Only on Discovery Home Channel.
If you'd like to ask the Tool Belt Diva a home improvement question, just call 1-877-33-SERIOUS and dial channel number 135 for Discovery Channel Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley, and we have Chris Tyrone here, who is the ultimate fixer-upper. And this is such a gory story about this house that really, it sounds like it should have been condemned.
It probably should have, but there were three things about it that if you had to choose three that you wanted in a house.
Okay.
It had only a 5-year-old roof.
Okay.
The outer structure was made of brick and was in fine condition, and the foundation was for the most part dry. So if I had to pick three, those would definitely be high on my list of what I would
pick. Absolutely. Absolutely. And plus, like we had said in the beginning of the show, is that it was on gorgeous property.
It's on gorgeous property, and directly across the street from the house is property that's owned by a nature preservation group.
Right.
So it will never be built on.
So you're not insane.
Well, I'm not sure that I would go that far, but
no. But seriously, there were so many great things, you know, and structurally, you know, sound things about the house that, and the location, et cetera, that you said after all the mess that was inside of that house, you said, you know what? Let's do this.
I actually allowed my wife to make the decision. I already knew that I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Because there was that sense of the pride of, even when you start with something new.
Right.
Okay, you can say, yes, I built this.
Right.
But the reactions that I've gotten from people, because we've photo documented this entire process.
Showing again, people a book. You need to write a book.
Maybe that's next. But when I show people what, for example, the kitchen, what the kitchen looked like on day one and what it looks like now.
Right.
It's just that much more enjoyment, pride of the work done and so on.
Absolutely.
It's been such an odyssey. It really, that's a fair word to use.
And I have to say, I have to let everybody know that you are a master carpenter.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's
you.
Not your trade. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not your trade, but you are a master carpenter. And well, I'm sure that everything in there is just absolutely gorgeous. And you have background in plumbing and electric. I want everyone to know this is not a fixer-upper that somebody's going to go in that kind of has average level of comfort doing home improvement and make a new home for themselves. Wouldn't happen.
Definitely a combination of skill, fearlessness, and insanity is required.
Which is great. I mean, Definitely. That's a great combination. I live by that.
But my actual woodworking experience comes from that I'm a custom guitar builder.
Right.
And used to dealing with fine tolerances and kind of really fastidious about how things go together. And a lot of that, it has actually slowed me down in the build process because I think I may go a little bit further than I should. But in the end, if it ends up being higher quality, I don't care.
Of course not. Mm. Of course not. You get to look at it forever saying, man, that is good. That is perfect. Okay, so I want to get back to you actually let your wife decide. You know, you're like, honey, listen, I want you to decide. Because it was, seriously, it was going to be a big challenge. There was no heat. Right. There was barely any water. The electric was none to speak of.
Exactly. I was already all over it. And while we were driving home from seeing it, I said to her, okay, scale of 1 to 10. You know, 1 being a part of you will die if we don't get it. 10 is you hope you never even go down that street again. I said, where are you? And she said, 3, 4, maybe. I said, let's put an offer in. Let's do it.
Okay.
Because I was already on the 1. I wanted to do this transformation.
Okay.
And again, she is the most... I mean, if she wasn't already have this ticket straight to heaven...
Yes.
I think this experience I'm of thinking the last
Sainthood.
3 years has guaranteed...
I'm right, putting her name in for Sainthood because I don't think I would have been able to do it. And I really... between the smell and the cold and the... I would have been one nasty diva. Mm. That's for sure. Okay. So... what was the first thing you did to the house to get it to a point where that you could actually live in it?
Ripped every piece of plastic off of every window, threw every window wide, and just let the house breathe for the first time.
Sure.
And that first breath on that first day was the beginning of the process.
Yeah. Well, I always say a house is a living, breathing
absolutely
entity. Absolutely. All right. So you opened up everything. Then what?
Okay. First of all, we had to get heat in it. Because winter was approaching.
Sure.
So in comes the brand new boiler, in comes pressure testing every single copper line that was remaining.
Right.
Bringing in a new baseboard where it was broken, fixing every leak, and then that first turn on to see that the heat was working.
All right. All right, so you cleaned out the garbage, you aired out the house, you got the you pressure tested the plumbing.
Right. Got the brand new boiler and brand new.
You got the heat working.
We got the heat working.
And that's when you said, okay, honey, we're sleeping here tonight.
Just about. Heat was in, electric was in, windows that had, you know, completely no glass in them were glazed.
Okay.
We stayed with the old windows for probably the first 8 months.
Right.
But yeah, then at that point it was like, okay, we can kind of pretend to live here.
Right. Well, it was like camping in a way.
We cooked on a camp stove and a microwave for 2 years.
Yeah. Wow. Again, your wife, Sainthood. Mm-hmm.
Little two burner gas with a little Coleman,
wow.
Propane tank right next to it for 2 years.
Oh, so what was the first project you decided to do once you got, the basic utilities working?
Getting the upstairs bathroom fully functional.
You need a bathroom. Lord knows I need, of course, you need the bathroom.
We've got the food, shelter, and then, having to deal with nature.
Yeah.
We got that going.
What did you need to get the bathroom to a point where you were, comfortable in there?
Well, I had to replace the main plumbing stack, which actually failed on Super Bowl Sunday of 2002.
Oh,
the main metal stack.
See, that's not right.
Yeah.
Of all the days.
Well, it's a classic, for me anyway, it was a silver lining story. because I'm grousing. I sent my wife out of the house because, you know, it's just, it's a horrible place to be. She was with friends. And I'm grousing internally about how I want to go and watch the Super Bowl, but instead I'm working on the upstairs bathroom because it needs to be done. So I've got the little radio up there, and it's sitting on the sink. And then I hear, in the distance, I hear the sound of water suddenly emanating out of something. So naturally, I go downstairs because I'm afraid that it's on the first floor, and I discover that it's actually in the basement.
And it's major flood.
Major flood of the main plumbing stack. So sewage, backed up stuff from the septic, all now in the basement.
Oh, perfect. Well, it found its way because that used to be the dog run with the... yuck.
So I get the Sawzall because it's a metal stack. It's really old, from probably original. So I'm on it on the Sawzall, and I'm taking it down and still now really complaining because now am I not only missing the Super Bowl, I had this faint hope of getting to a friend's house before the stack blew.
Not a shot in hell.
Not a shot in hell at this point. So as the Sawzall finally finishes its way through the stack and this big 4.5-foot metal pipe falls to the floor, suddenly the basement is filled with this beautiful, not even stereophonic, quadraphonic sound of that radio that's two floors up coming through the pipes and playing the Super Bowl in the basement for me.
So you got to listen to the Super Bowl anyway.
I just looked at it and said, I said, if there's any silver lining in this, it's like this beautiful sound is emanating through the old pipes.
You got a little break there.
And I got it all cleaned up before my wife got home, so...
Oh, you're a good man. You're a good man. So what else? Then what happened in the bathroom? Because you realize I need to get this bathroom to a point.
Well, I got the toilet to actually function, and then it followed the correct path from the bowl to the septic tank.
Right.
Consistently, I was happy with that.
Right.
But one day I went up there, and as I began to sit down, I sort of felt this depression in the floor. And I'm not a light person. I'm close to 300 pounds. And I'm like, why is it that the floor, every time I go near the ball, why is it that the floor kind of depresses about 3 or 4 inches?
I'm like here with my mouth open. Literally, this toilet was like sinking into the floor.
You could definitely feel it. And then as I watched it, I would sort of stand on one back foot and then press down. And then there was a moment where I really, really was convinced I was going through the floor.
Are you kidding me?
Not in the least.
Whoa. That's like a cartoon, Chris. It's like when the actual
a lot about
bathtub,
this house that's like a cartoon.
The toilet falls through the floor. And
I get to float in the air until I realize I'm going to fall, and then...
Oh, my God. Hey, Chris, we're going to have you back because we've run out of time.
Oh, there's definitely a lot more to
tell.
And
I have to hear the end of this story. I have to hear at what point you are, and I'm sure that I can only imagine the work that you've done and all those stories we can find out about. So please come back next week.
It's a plan.
Thank you so much, Chris Tyrone. In the meantime, we are going to be speaking with the producer of Tool Belt Diva, the television show, and get some behind the scenes. We're going to talk about some upcoming potential guests that we'll be having on our show. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Tool Belt Diva right here on Discovery Channel Radio. My favorite accessory. I've always wanted one since I was a little girl. So I treated myself. It screams empowerment. I'm talking totally huge. The shine, the sparkle, the razzle dazzle. Of course it goes with my favorite belts. And it could drive a 4-inch screw like a knife through butter, baby.
Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9 and Sunday at 8:30.
Only on Discovery Home Channel.
If you'd like to ask the Tool Belt Diva a home improvement question, just call 1-877-33-SERIOUS and dial channel number 135 for Discovery Channel Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley, and I have somebody very special on the line tonight I want to introduce everyone to. Liza Keckler. Hello, Liza.
Hey, Norma.
Liza is the producer of Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Home Channel. So... Liza, if I'm the diva, you're actually the queen.
No.
You are our queen.
You are too much.
So everyone know, I mean, not everyone may know this, but we actually are always looking for locations to do episodes of Tool Belt Diva. We're really looking for homeowners, for women that have projects in their house. And that's how we get our shows together. They are real. Liza, I understand that you have some projects that you've been scouting. Why don't you run them by me?
Yes, I've got one kind of an unusual situation. This woman and her husband bought a house, and the woman that they bought it from was sort of the party gal of the neighborhood.
Oh, God, I'm sure there are stories to tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she was about 70 years old.
I love her.
Which makes it interesting. And
I love her. Okay.
On the deck, behind the house, the entire deck is taken up by a heart-shaped hot tub.
No.
Seriously?
I've never in my whole life, all my days, I've never seen a heart-shaped hot tub. So the woman that and her husband that bought the house, they don't want, why wouldn't they want a heart-shaped hot tub? I don't get it.
Well, I think that they want to have barbecues, and since it takes up the entire deck, they would like to get rid of it because it's not really their style.
Okay, so they're not the partiers like the cool 70-year-old super mama that was partying in the house before. Seriously, Liza, how big was it?
It is probably 7 feet in diameter.
Wow.
And they want to pull it out and redeck it.
Is it filled with water, or should I say, is it filled with pond scum? Because I'm not kidding. I don't think that's something that I want to get into.
Yeah.
Really, I think it's too much.
Well, I mean, lifting it, how would you even get something like that out?
Well, we'd have to first drain it. Okay, let's just realize that it is really a two-day project. I mean, our shows are really 2 days. And to do that in 2 days, I'm not sure it's something that we should get into. I'm assuming that it's... Is it full?
What's that?
Is it full?
I think so, yes.
Because that alone would be so gross. And the stink... Do you have any idea the smell that would be coming out of that?
Yeah.
I can't do it. Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't do it. No. All right, let's move on to the next one. Who else do we have?
We have a woman whose husband was trying really hard. She convinced him to paint the bathroom. And he, you know, did a fantastic job.
Why wasn't she painting the bathroom? But anyway, go ahead.
He was trying to get in the upper corner of the ceiling above the toilet, and he didn't want to go downstairs and get the ladder, so he decided to stand on the toilet, and that was fine, but then he stood on a tank.
He was an acrobat.
Yes.
He was a lazy man. Okay, so he was being lazy, didn't want to get the ladder, and went up on, and stood on the tank.
Right, cracked the tank, and now she wants to know, can she just replace the tank? Does she have to replace the entire thing? How the heck does she do that?
Okay, well, would she really want to be doing this project? She didn't even want to paint the bathroom.
Right.
Right, would she really want to... Maybe we'll have to get her motivated, because I would want to find out who her... who the brand of the toilet, you know? And see if we can contact them and see if they'll just, sell the tank separately. But you know what? If it's an old toilet, I say we just take the whole thing out and start fresh. That's a possibility, Liza.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. We'll have to do some further research on her. Who else do we have?
We've got one other possibility. Okay. And this woman, Carrie, she is about 5'2".
Yes.
Small, cute little girl.
Okay.
She has a new place that she just moved into, but the kitchen cabinets are all extremely high. 10-foot ceilings.
Wow. They're
sort of high. She can't reach them without a ladder.
So, aww. And she's smart enough not to stand on a toilet tank to reach what she needs. Like, okay.
Right.
So she wants to lower her cabinets? Is that it?
She wants to know if she can pull them down to her size, yeah.
I don't see why not. I mean, I think we'd have to further investigate, but, you know, and see what kind of backsplash she may have. If it's tiled all the way up to the bottom of the cabinet, maybe we have to take a row or two down of tiles if that's what it is. But I think that we could go in there and get a height that she's comfortable with. Okay. And take it from there and figure out how to, either she can have storage above the cabinets if they're built up all the way to the ceiling, or we can finish it off with some kind of molding. Or I think we got, of the three, I think we have two.
Great.
All right, Liza, thank you so much. Again, that is Liza Keckler, the producer of Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Home Channel. Thank you, girl. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Norma.
All right, everyone. We are going to say goodbye for now, and it's always so much fun. This is Tool Belt Diva on Discovery Channel Radio. I'm your host, Norma Valley. You can learn all about my show, Tool Belt Diva, on Discovery Home Channel. Just go to discovery.com and click on Discovery Home.
my favorite accessory. I've always wanted one since I was a little girl, so I treated myself. It screams empowerment. I'm talking totally huge. The shine, the sparkle, the razzle-dazzle. Of course it goes with my favorite belts. And it could drive a 4-inch screw like a knife through butter, baby.
Tool Belt Diva, Friday at 9 and Sunday at 8:30.
Only on Discovery Home Channel.